Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the table. We are so excited again to be here and then be all together all at once. So now you guys don't just have to hear me like you did last time. It's all three of us with one voice, but three minds. Yeah. today we're going to continue our talk through Matthew, but we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount. So that's going to be, we're going to go through chapters 5, 6, and 7. I'm pretty excited. There was a lot of stuff in here that you know, but did you really know? You know, did you realize that was what there were these things came from?
Well, and that it was all in one giant sermon. I mean, like, mm-hmm. You know it because it's called the Sermon on the Mount when you read the titles of your Bible, but then you start reading the stories and you're like, oh, wait, that one's in here too? That was my thing when I read it the other day again. I was like, wait, I knew that it was in Matthew 5. Blah, 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 blah. But okay. Yeah. It's in the Sermon on the Mount and the stamina of the people to sit and listen to all the different stories too. Like I just picture obviously Jesus is this amazing, engaging teacher who is just like, you can't stop listening. Right.
Mm-hmm. He would have to be, because I'm the type of person who likes to learn and I like to, but I've got to have like a short period of time where I'm going to like, focus, and then it's gone, and then I'm gonna miss everything.
Amen.
Well, I feel like he did really good throughout this whole thing. It's like each section just doesn't. I mean, obviously, this is, I would assume, almost like these are almost like the cliff notes, because I mean, how fast was Matthew writing during all of this? You know, I heard somebody say that there's speculation, like, did he have some kind of recording device so that way he could go back to make sure he got it all?
The original recording device, yes.
Right?
Makes sense.
Well, Matthew would probably have to be the type of person who has one of those brains of, you know, you hear it one time and you got it.
Yeah.
Like reading a book and then, mm-hmm. I forgot what it's called, but.
Yes, I know exactly. Yeah,
like a photographic memory kind of concept. Yeah. Yeah. He was also an attention to detail person anyways. So it makes sense that he would remember enough to make these beautiful tiny stories and connect them all, right? Mm-hmm. The way Jesus did. So
of course he had the Holy Spirit kind of guide him a little bit too.
Well, yeah. You're going to go be all logical about it. Talk about the Spirit. No, I'm just kidding.
To be fair, he also had the source of this. You know, he was following around. They were kind of together a lot. they were pretty close.
What is this craziness?
I missed some of the Beatitudes here.
I mean, the Sermon on the Mount, it's a very big, it's good. I mean, it's exactly, okay, so I thought about this, and I actually laughed at myself when I thought it, but it's kind of like putting the book of James, like you're having the instructions in the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so this is Jesus showing, like his James is showing, you know, because he's laying it out like, this is how you need to be, like this is how you're going to show others that you follow me, you know. And I think it's great. There is speculation though that this is just a compilation of a multiple different sermons, so it's like this is all the stuff that he talked about, and I'm sure he did. I'm sure we don't know obviously every talk that he did, and I'm sure these were all often repeated.
Yeah.
You know, but I have never questioned the fact that he wasn't sitting on top of a mountain having a conversation with a million people.
Yeah.
You know, during this, like that was never anything. And,
but I also think it could mean that he did that several times.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And scared, because I mean, how many times do we have to hear a message before it clicks, connects?
No comment.
Exactly. So that's why I've always pictured it where there had to be several Sermon on the Mount time moments, and for keeping records straight, like what they're trying to do with writing down everything, it was, here's everything he ever taught us on the mountain kind of concept. That's at least the way that my mom taught me about it, I believe. She'll tell me when she listens to the podcast, if that's what she taught me or not. But
she just needs to take that credit regardless of it's her night. That's exactly what I said. That was so me.
That's how I remember it. So let's go.
So this is literally the Sermon on the Mount is, like I mentioned off recording, you know, to read this, it takes about 20 minutes to just read the whole thing. So it's not a long sermon. This is like a modern day sermon that Jesus was providing. Mm-hmm. Right. And then it's only like 100 verses, just maybe a little over 100 verses when you compile the three chapters together. But that's good. It's concise, it's clear, and it doesn't lag, right? Like, it's not one of those ones you're like, sir, are we done? Like, I'm hungry, I'm tired. You know, like, you're not falling asleep during it because he's keeping you engaged.
Yeah, it's not Sunday at noon and church should have been done so you could go get lunch.
Right? The gum is disintegrating in your mouth because you've been chewing it for so long. Which, side note, I have nightmares about still, because my mother used to do, she'd only chew Trident gum. And after growing up in a Pentecostal church, when you're there for hours, that gum, it literally disintegrates. And so now I have nightmares.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Need to find better gum for Pentecostals. Okay, got it.
When you know how to throw it out, it's like impossible to keep swallowing.
Yeah, and then every mom scares you to swallow gum. Like, Lord have mercy.
Lives in your gut for 7 years.
Yeah, exactly. Just, it'll pile up if you keep doing it.
Too funny.
So one thing that, and I know we talk about The Chosen a lot on this, I know we on this podcast talk about it a lot. And I think, again, like we've always said, it's a good reference. It's a good, you know, talking point. It's not the Bible, but it is still something that they are trying to make sure that people see Jesus. Like again, you know, let's quote Ann Wilson, let me tell you about my Jesus, you know, so it has, like, that's what The Chosen does. So on a podcast I was listening to about the Beatitude, not the Beatitude, well, it was, but it was about the Sermon on the Mount. They actually interviewed Dallas Jenkins and were talking about it. And they brought up the fact about how like, just the part where Jesus wakes up Matthew right before the Sermon on the Mount. And he's like, I got it. I figured it out. You know, this sermon it's a map. You know, it's a map so that, you know, so others know who to look for to find me. Like, mm-hmm. these are the groups of people that you need to look for. And then that's where you'll find me when you're seeking me. And I'm like, and I remember watching it. I can visualize that entire scene. And I'm like, that makes sense. Like, the writers on that were that was on point 100%. It was amazing.
Yeah,
because that's what it is. And I love that he's like, if you want to find me, these are the people that you need to find. These are the people, you know, that are my people, and they will help you find me. And I feel like that's a good instructional basis for us as Christians. You know, we should be known for, you know, our faith, our light, our, you know, the way that we love people. We should be known for that. And not for the Bible bashing, you know?
Amen.
Be meek and humble.
Exactly.
That's why the one thing I looked up, it said, the main message of the Sermon on the Mount is a call to live a life of radical love, compassion, and righteousness that surpasses mere adherence to the law. Like, it's not, yes, the law is there. Mm-hmm. It's important. Obviously it helps form us a little, you know, here it does. But when Jesus came, it's not that the law became unnecessary. We still need the commandments. We still need the law, mm-hmm. but the weight and the pressure of the law lessened as soon as Jesus died on that cross.
Yep.
And we get to live a life of love and compassion because that's what Jesus taught us to do. And it's what he did.
Exactly.
On that cross. So.
And that's what he did when he walked the earth. You know, like we were called to be like him in that, in all ways. Like he showed us how to be closer to God, how to be closer to him, how to walk, you know, and we tend to focus on some and disregard others, or, you know, feel like, well, he could have done this a little different. You know, things get so convoluted and so misinterpreted, you know, throughout, depending on whose sermon it is, depending on what point they're doing, instead of looking at Jesus as a whole, they're just picking the pieces out that they want sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. Very much. Very much.
All right, well, let's get into the Sermon on the Mount.
All right, I'll start with Matthew chapter 5. Just so everyone knows, I'm reading the NLT version, the New Living Translation, because it's just the one that I enjoy reading. So just in case you're reading along and you're like, that is not a word in mine, that's why. There you go. So the Sermon on the Mount. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Teaching about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Teaching about the law. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Teaching about anger. You have heard that our ancestors were told you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. Teaching about adultery. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Teaching about divorce. You have heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. Teaching about vows. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Teaching about revenge. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Teaching about love for enemies. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Chapter 5. Just a little bit of talking and teaching.
Just a little. Fully relate, because we're not underneath the Roman law. We don't have Roman soldiers coming to us, asking us or demanding us to carry their gear for a mile, you know, and, you know, saying, okay, well then I'm going to carry it too, you know, we're not getting the shirt sued from us in court to then also say, well, here's my jacket as well. Like, that is not something that we do, but it's something that you can relate that to other things now when you kind of break it down and understand what he's saying. And that's, again, I think that sometimes it's what helps with context to understand that he's talking about what they're literally going through, because they're living on land that they're supposed to be living on, that they've been living on, but now is being run by the Romans.
Well, you know, like, so the every time I've taught, you know, junior youth and senior youth and even kids, like, I have to cut my eye out, chop off my hand. Okay, let's talk about the literal, like, yes, literally, he was talking about that because that used to be a punishment in Roman law. Mm-hmm. I said, good news is we got rid of beheadings a while ago, and those kinds of things. And so I said, the truth is it's the idea, right? It's why people go to jail nowadays, because they break the law. Mm-hmm. You broke the law back then. They cut your eye out, or they cut your arm off, or they hung you, or put you on a cross, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Put you in jail. Nowadays we stick to the jail thing for the most part. But it's the sin part. And that's the part that, sometimes people get caught up in all the, what is it? Examples. Thoughts that Jesus gives, and stuck, because I do too. I get stuck on that one concept that makes me go, wait, really?
Yeah.
But the concept here is that if you sin, you're doing wrong. And if you don't find that compassion, because no one is perfect, right at the end, you are to be perfect. He wants us to be our goal. It's unattainable here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So,
It is. And I think this just shows how much we need him too, because, you know, it's like verse 20 says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds those of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are, of course, people who were very legalistic, but they strive to fulfill every little thing, mm-hmm. you know. And it's, you know, it's also talking like, you know, it says you shall not murder, but whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. So, you know, it's not just what you physically do, but it's your motive behind it. It's your feeling behind it. And
your heart.
And it just shows that there's no way we could do it without him. You know, we can't be perfect on earth. And, you know, just the wrong thought that pops into your head is a sin. And that's enough for you to land in hell without Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah. It's definitely that one right after that when you're talking about you must not murder. And it says, but even if you're angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court daily. I would be brought before the court daily. Sometimes
just driving home
multiple times.
I use the ESV, English Standard Version.
Yeah.
And mine says, whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire.
Mm.
Well, I don't say fool. I say idiot.
Well, that's why. So like, you know, obviously I work at a church. And so on Sundays, especially when we have communion, I am blessed that I get to take it twice. And people are like, do you really take it twice every Sunday? I said, I take it as often as possible because I need forgiveness. Because in between service, I probably called someone an idiot. I mean.
I was going to say, I probably need it by the time.
That's just because, like, you know, like we're human and we get frustrated. I definitely try not to. I try to let it roll off my back or not get upset about little things or stuff like that. But the truth is I'm every day trying. Mm-hmm. The days that I'm not trying, that the Lord definitely needs to smack me down sometimes, right? But the days that I'm trying, that's why I'm glad that there is forgiveness. I am glad there is being able to take communion with the body of Christ and the blood, you know, and that true forgiveness comes from the repentant side of things and giving it to him.
Yeah.
And so, because I don't want to get my eyes gouged out. I don't want to get my hand lobbed off. No. I don't want to go through any of that stuff that they used to have to go to with the Levitical law, you know. And the Roman law, but
right. I do want to thank the Lord that we don't have those laws anymore.
Amen.
I'm very appreciative of that.
Yep.
But yeah.
No.
I looked, the message says idiot too. I was wondering if it would change. But no.
But now I gotta look at my other favorite one. Hold on. Let's see.
I was like, Keisha, you have the other one that I have. I have that Christian Standard is the other one that I use. But I've been teaching out of the NLT now that I prefer it because it just it's easier just to read.
Yeah, this the Passion Translation is not very fun. Mm. Whoever demeans or insults a fellow believer. Come on.
But I like that though, a fellow believer though, like that's nice because then it shows it's not like this isn't it's both ways. It's not like you're not just saying it about the general population, you're then talking bad about somebody who's following Jesus, just maybe not the same way that you are.
Well, and because it's sometimes we think our only sins are against people who don't think like we do. Oh, mm-hmm. No. Our sins are all over the place. The people we don't love, and everything in between.
This is a hard thing to navigate to sometimes. Especially, you know, people who don't believe the way we believe. You know, dealing with that, how you stand up for God and your beliefs, but not get that Bible thumping holier than thou kind of attitude, because that's not right either.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was, for instance, today, which I do home health, so I was in a patient's house who's, you could tell, very much not a believer, a very significantly different lifestyle than when I live, who started, you know, talking stuff, not really bashing God, but kind of making fun of him a little bit and talking about their lifestyle, which is not, it's, you know, a sinful lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Not that I haven't lived a sinful lifestyle, you know, but still, it's lifestyle the Bible tells us not to live. And I just I didn't know how to respond. I just kind of got quiet. But I didn't mm-hmm. want to be like, you know, holier than thou kind of attitude.
Right. Really,
but at the same time, I don't want to be like I'm enabling or shameful, because, you know, I was in their home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Sorry. I think there's a time and a place for those conversations to happen, and there's a time and a place for them not. And I think the Lord gives you the words or the encouragement at the right times. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's also okay to say, that's not my job today, but I'm going to pray for that person. And that person's now going to get included in those prayers for those friends or people that I know mm-hmm. who don't quite know God yet.
Yeah.
And it's also hard when it's part of your job too. Like, you're in there, like you said, you're in their house, you're in their, you know, their domain, but you're also there in a professional capacity, and that professional capacity does not usually, in your profession, does not include sharing the gospel. You can show everybody Jesus. That's going to be, you know, who it's you are, the care that you provide, the ears that you like to listen, like what you do is an act of, you know, act of Jesus. Like you are a servant to these people and you're helping them, you know, and sometimes that's the testimony that you need. That's the only testimony you need, especially when somebody has such a negative look, because you never know what the outcome could be. You know what, you're planting seeds while you're there, because you're letting them talk. And if you were supposed to say something, the Holy Spirit would have been like, maybe try this, mm-hmm. you know, you would have known.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. I don't, you know, it talks about, you know, blessed are those who revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I was kind of thinking that too. You know, it's not that we're going to look for persecution, you know, mm-hmm. but I guess it's how to say, well, this is who I am. I am a child of God, without rubbing the wrong way, or without.
Well, you're not trying to offend anybody. You're not trying to push your agenda on them. But that's why I think sometimes he just gives us, in the most unexpected moments, the ability to speak it clearly without being that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't even go in there, and he wasn't like, did you know about me? Like,
right.
He just was, this is who I am. And I want you to know me. And if you want to know me, great. If you don't, I'm going to keep going on. Right. So Brian and I were at a restaurant in town the other day, Gringo's, and we were sitting at the bar having Mexican food and chips and queso and waiting for our food to come. And this lady sat down next to me, and she just like had this laugh that was just, and I was like, whoa, that's an amazing laugh. Cause she just was lighting up the room, but she was all alone. She was talking to the other couple on the other side of, you know, where we were sitting. And all of a sudden that couple, you know, checked out and left. And so she turns to me, she pays me a very nice compliment, all that kind of stuff. And then she says to me, she goes, do you know what, do you like crystals? And I was like, I said, I know that Jesus and God made really amazing crystals in his creation. That's what I know about crystals, because that's literally all I know about crystals, right? And she's like, tell me more. And I was like, what? I don't even know what to answer. I, like, at that moment, my brain went, I don't even know how to respond to this. And then I just started talking, and I just said to her, I said, here's my truth. I'm a believer in Jesus. And I, you know, I just shared a couple of things, and mm-hmm. and then she kept saying, she goes, I'm intrigued. And I was like, cool. So hopefully we're going to have coffee one of these days, because we exchange numbers and okay. But I've never at a bar getting Mexican food at any bar had someone say, tell me more.
Yeah. In that moment.
And yeah. I didn't present it that way. I was just kind of being silly. Like, I know Jesus made crystals, you know, like, because he created the earth, you know, but.
Yeah. That led to you.
And it turned into something. So you just don't know when that's going to happen. It can be at the weirdest of times. Yeah. And it might happen someday with that person who you're doing home health care for, or it may never.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how cool is it to have the opportunity to even just say, I know Jesus. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Who knew margaritas and queso could be so powerful?
Hey. Maybe that, you know what? But you also being there was probably like, hey, she's talking about Jesus and she's had some margarita. Let's have a conversation with this lady.
And that's what I mean. Sometimes it's about the time and the space. And, mm-hmm. and I literally, as soon as I said it, and Brian's over there just getting ready to, like, because our food was coming. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm sharing Jesus. And, and I just, and it's just, you know, it's, I don't think in my 50 years, it's kind of happened that seamlessly or easily. And that's not to say that the next time it happens, it will be that easy. I struggle with other friends that I have to share Jesus with, and I can't come and form the words to say to them, but to this stranger.
I think you were right when you said a while ago, you know, the Holy Spirit would lead you and mm-hmm. the words when you need them.
Yep.
Yep.
And then,
yep.
You know, God and Jesus makes great crystals.
Well, and that's, you know, that's what the Beatitudes and then the salt and light part truly speak to me about. Like,
yeah.
You're going to go and find ways to be light to other people. And you're going to find ways to help them if they are persecuted or and you are too as the believer, but you're also there to help those who are all of those parts of the Beatitudes, you know, the.
Yep.
Those who seek justice, those who seek this. So, you know, I'm so frustrated in our Christian world sometime that we're so caught up in, they're not doing the right thing. You're right. They're not, but neither are we.
Right.
Because none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All deserve hell.
So let's go be light and love each other. Tell people when they're doing wrong things. Yes, that's our job. Mm-hmm. That's also our job, because that's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't just sit down with the tax collector and the prostitute. He also said, go and sin no more to them.
Yeah.
So he was bold, but he also loved them where they were at.
Yeah.
So the 16, that verse about the, you know, as my Bible falls off the table. in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all of those to see, so everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That is our church verse. Like, that's our church mission statement. And so on the end, that's the kids, like the Jackson's youth group, they've named it. It's 516. Like, that is their youth group motto as well. So I'm like, that's like the best, like, just, this is a go and tell, but go and show. Like, this is who we are, you know, so be that salt and be that light when you're out, you know. And I think that's huge, you know. And again, Jesus, with the whole Beatitudes, you know, he's saying those of us that are down here are going to be exalted, right? You're mourning, you're poor right now. You are depressed right now. You know, you have all of these things, but you know what? Blessed are you, because you're going to be exalted over here. You are humble. You're not, you know, you're not over here proclaiming how amazing you are. You know what? You're going to be up here and they're going to be down here, you know? Yeah. And it just shows he's like affirming the fact that those, like, the least of these, right? The least of these are going to be the ones that, you know, can secure the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good reminder to keep our eyes not on earth, but on heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
it hit me too this morning when I was rereading all this stuff before. I kept rereading and rereading because I never feel prepared enough, no matter what. I could read this for 3 months mm-hmm. and still feel like I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the point across and be able to do it justice. Yeah. I do feel like the one good thing about the Sermon on the Mount is he says it all. We just can, you know, we just make it relatable, you know, like, or we'll say, this is what related it to me. But when he's talking about, you know, loving your enemies, it hits you that Judas is sitting there. He's there. He's not an enemy at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, but, you know, love your enemies, show them, you know, the love of God, do all of these things. And, you know, that's always the challenge. You guys have seen the quote, because I know I've posted it on Facebook, but the challenge in Christianity isn't loving the lovable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's loving your Judas. It's, you know, having the compassion for that person or those people, you know, because Judas can be a title, you know, it's up just for a certain, sometimes it's a group of people. Sometimes it's a situation. Sometimes it's, you know, one person, but it's just the way that you treat that person speaks higher volumes in the way that you treat, like that I treat both of you. Right. Because I love you both. Obviously we all know that, but it's, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
And I know I fall short. I'm the first one. I'll tell you right now, I'm the first one to do that. You know, I'm getting better. It's one of those things that the older I get, the more I see it. You're like, oh shoot, that was really trivial. I didn't mean to be like that, you know, or, and go back and apologize or, you know, kind of trying to make amends, which is hard for me. But you know, it's just, you learn. And I think some of that comes with not only age and maturity, but spiritual maturity too, because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to direct you.
Yeah.
When you're to the uncomfortable, it's not comfortable to say, hey, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that. Or, you know what? I apologize that I don't agree with this, but I maybe could have handled our situation different. Definitely. You know?
Yeah. I've seen you do a lot, Liz, lately, as you go to prayer. I think that's, you know, it's hard for us to change our attitudes. It's hard for us to do what God wants us to do if our focus isn't on God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that I think, especially when you see your enemies and you try to change your attitude towards them, that's the number one thing, is to go to prayer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I still wish it wasn't so hard to try to get out of the hole. Like when you're down that ticked off depressive hole, why is it so hard for me to sit down, you know, and pray or turn on worship music and just let it flow? You know, it's so hard. You just want to wallow.
Yeah. You want to stay in it. It's hard mm-hmm. to actually want to get out.
We talked about this at our women's Bible study last night. I'm like, sometimes it just comes in pity party.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my pity party. Doesn't make it right. But I have noticed as I get older that my pity parties don't last as long. Because for me, speaking for Leslie, I'm trying my best to not let them last long and to try and push out of them. Because as I've been working with a friend who is just really hard on themselves, I'm like, oh yeah, you're me. Okay. I get it. And when that person continues to give up, I go, oh, okay, is this what I'm like? And maybe that's why the Lord put this person also in my life, is because I could learn and be light at the same time. Right. And, and I think that's why I think he, as in the Lord, is teaching me so much through a couple of friendships right now, so that I cannot be hard on myself all the time. I'm still have my moments, of course, because I'm really good at it. I'm an expert, but I just keep that trying part again.
Mm-hmm.
Keep trying.
Yeah.
We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.